Sermon podcasts come to you from Christ Church Cathedral in the Anglican Diocese of Fredericton in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. This is a version of a sermon delivered by the Dean of Fredericton, Jeffrey Hall. On the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, February 9th, 2025, entitled, Do What I've Asked. Listen to podcasts by visiting the Watch and Listen tab on our website at christchurchcathedral.com. Search Christ Church Cathedral Fredericton podcasts on the web. Or find us listed on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, TuneIn Radio, or Podchaser podcasts. Subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. Isaiah said, Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. If there's one question that I've been asked most often over the now 35 years of ordained ministry that I've spent, it's probably about how I experienced my call to this vocation. Tell me about what it was like to be called, people will say. And at those times, I often wish I had something extraordinary to say. I think sometimes the expectation is that it's going to be a story of a voice in the night or a blinding flash of light, the vision of an angel or one of those, I was completely lost and I hit rock bottom and Jesus saved me. Those stories are told. It's just that I don't have one of them. My experience of being called to ministry in the church is one that's very ordinary. It was one of a gradual movement, a step by step in a certain direction. None of those steps were gigantic, if I remember. And with the exception of a few of them, didn't stretch beyond what I was actually capable of, albeit usually with some extra effort on my part and a lot of prodding from people around me. I've had a lot of people along the way who saw things in me that I often didn't see in myself. But for the most part, as an adult, I'm very much a product of my environment. And that environment was an ordinary family with ordinary values and ordinary lives. At least, they seemed ordinary to me at the time. I grew up in a family where church attendance wasn't a debatable subject. At least until we reached our later teens. I must confess, I spent my share of Sunday mornings sleeping until noon once I was considered to be old enough and responsible enough to make my own decisions. I have no recollection of growing up in a police state or ever really being expected to do or to be anything more than I was able to do or to be. The callings in my life seemed a natural progression. Down a road where there was always one pathway that seemed to be the widest. And it's interesting to look back now and to see the turns in that road that were entirely invisible to me at the time. The common thread between all of the passages of Scripture that we read this morning on this fifth Sunday after Epiphany is that they are all stories of call. Each passage is a witness to the experience of being guided, led, or driven that in retrospect is a recognizable influence of the very hand of the divine. One was the call of a prophet, Isaiah. There was the calling of an apostle, St. Paul. And there was the more general call to the disciples, maybe most especially Peter. These are all well placed within a season where we celebrate the ways in which the invisible God is revealed, becomes seen by way of a manifestation, if you like. God is hidden there, guiding, comforting, leading those willing to see and willing to listen. What's common about each of them, Isaiah, Paul, and all the disciples, really, is their expressed sense of inadequacy. Isaiah confesses that he is a man of unclean lips and that he lives among a people of unclean lips. Paul describes himself as one untimely born. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, he says. Can any of us truly say any different? Simon Peter is witness to a great catch of fish from what were empty waters just moments before. Go away from me, Lord, Peter says, for I am a sinful man. And if we're honest, could any of us truly say any different? When God calls us, and he's calling us all, whether we know it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, sometimes the circumstances are extraordinary. But from my own experience, I would have to say that more often, they are not so extraordinary. If we want to determine to what or to where God is calling us now, we need to look only as far as what is immediately at our disposal. With what God has gifted us. And we're so good in our Western civilization at believing that all the things that are around us are there because we've earned them. That they're ours because we own them. And none of it is earned. And none of it is owned. It is gift. So if you have an interest or an inclination, a talent, even if you have some sort of material ownership, it's highly unlikely, I would say, that you have it just for you. Rather, it's something that has been gifted to you for a greater purpose. And you don't have to be ordained to answer a calling. A few of us are, and the stories of how we got there are all different. What is most responsible for me standing here today, dressed in this ridiculous outfit, is that I grew up in a Christian home. And that's not because where I grew up we all dressed like this, but it was something not unfamiliar to me. And I think, you know, so often in the church of the past, we've forgotten that the ones who do dress like this do that only as a reflection of who and what you are. Because we're all priests. We're all members of the priesthood of all believers. And I think so often we've forgotten that those who fill the role like I do are only doing that to reflect back to you who you need to be. It's not that I'm any better than you are. I just happen to be walking that way. And I am a symbol. And that's all. To me, Christian practice has never been something unfamiliar, as I said. Isaiah, Paul, and Peter lived in a different time, you may say. And you'd be right, it's true. But we all live in the same world. And while things are very different now, they're not that different. You and I grew up in a different time, too. One of the differences is that today I can count on two hands the number of families with children who make church life a priority. When I was a child, I knew 100, and that was in a small town. We're all products of our environment. And so it shouldn't be a shock that there are very few seeking ordination these days. But still, many seem to be very surprised about that. Our community is shaped by its members. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. It just is. I was on a video conference with Canadian deans this past week. The deans at cathedrals across the country try to meet that way 3 or 4 times a year. The role of dean in an Anglican diocese is somewhat unique, and we've found that there is an opportunity for us to learn from one another and to even support one another in some of the more unique aspects of our respective roles. One topic of the conversation last week was the annual conference of North American deans. This year, from May 8th to 11th, deans from all over the North American continent will be in Omaha, Nebraska. Guess what might have been perceived to be an issue about this year's conference? The organizers are concerned that certain political realities might prevent attendance of those of us from Canada. The Canadian representative on the organizing team shared sentiments of deans south of the border. She said, "They've told me we're just humiliated and we're embarrassed. And we hope this situation won't affect the conference." Well, several of my colleagues said, without much thought, they wouldn't be caught dead in the U.S. right now. And my comment was, listen, we're all humiliated, and we're all embarrassed. And maybe this is a time when we need to get together to support one another. Those who hold positions of leadership among us are put there by us. Our leaders are leaders because we've put them there. And they represent us. They are reflective of the culture and the environment from which they've come. And I can't help but reflect a bit on the text from Isaiah today. When Isaiah sees the magnificence of God in the temple, he responds, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a sinful man. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Well, how could Isaiah been anything else but lost and of unclean lips? He lived among a people of unclean lips. He reflected the environment from which he came and in which he lived. As individuals, we make our contributions to the culture and the environment in which future generations are destined to live. Maybe I'm just cynical and unwilling to change, but I've also lived through what historians are now calling the best time the world has ever known. The best time the world has ever known. And part of living in that time is that we have an assumption that things just keep getting better and better. But you know, it's all got to have something to do with the values and the attitudes of our parents, of our grandparents, of our great-grandparents. Christian faith is the bedrock upon which the best times the world has ever known was built. The decisions we make matter. What we value matters. Who we are matters. Integrity matters. Among the 12 rules of life put forward in his book by the same name, a popular Canadian psychologist points out that the absence of simple disciplines, the value of delayed gratification, and the importance of personal responsibility in our times may in fact be only the tip of the cultural iceberg that's now missing. It's by the grace of God that we are what we are. And it's time we started to realize that. We're not so different from those about whom we read today. Isaiah, "Oh, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips." Paul, "For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain." And Peter, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And it's interesting how Jesus responds. He says, "Don't be afraid. Just go do what I've asked you to do."
Christ Church Cathedral is located at the corner of Church and Brunswick Streets in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We're always pleased to welcome visitors and guests. For information on programs and worship times, visit ChristChurchCathedral.com. Send us a message by email at office@ChristChurchCathedral.com or contact the church office by phone Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 noon at 506-450-8500. We'd be pleased to have you visit.